Thank you. The topic of my presentation is full reference image quality. In full reference image quality, you usually have one image that you see as reference and a transformed image, and you want to quantize in any way or quantify in any way the quality of this reproduction relative to the reference image. So it can be better or worse, you're just interested in relative quality. In the last decade, there has been one work that is really seminal in this domain. Comes in different flavors. I'm referring to the version of 2004 by Wang, Bobik, Shake, and Simon Jelly. It's again the scenario of comparing a reference image and a reproduction. And you use corresponding sliding windows, this means neighborhood of pixels, and calculate three functions. The first describes the absolute level. The second, the variation within these windows. And the third, they call it structure, and there comes the name from, compares the correlation of the deviations. So if the deviations are all in the same direction, it is less important than if they are randomly. These three functions are then combined in a multiplicative way with weighting exponents. And finally, one summarizes the measure across the whole image by taking the mean. This measure is called structural similarity index measure. Now, in practice, it is mostly applied to the luminance channel only. This was due historically to the fact that they mostly looked at distortion like noise, blur, or compression that express themselves in high spatial frequencies, and these are better visible in the luminance channel than in chromatic channels. But there is one but. There are image transformations that tend to have almost the same lightness, but as you will see, differ in chromatic content. Gamut mapping, this is adapting colors to a target device color gamut, is one example, but also the change of illumination would fall in the same kind of image distortions. Now, one idea was to take this structural similarity measure and just apply it to three color planes of any color space that has a chromatic plane and an orthogonal luminance dimension. This was done by Nicolas Bonnier about 6 years ago, and I just quote from his conclusions. We compared the results of the experiments with image quality metrics, they were others than SSIM, and found that none presented a strong correlation with observers' set scores. Set scores are just linearized results. So, just to apply the same metrics for luminance and chrominance channels seems probably not to be a good idea. So what we propose is to take different metrics for the chrominance plane. One feature we'd like to calculate within these sliding windows is just the distance from the gray axis to the pixel in one image and in the other image, and you take the difference of these two distances. This gives you a radial chromatic distance or the difference of them. The second is the difference between the Euclidean distance of two pixel values and the chromatic distance. It is more or less an approximation of the U angle. You plug this all in a function that maps the range to the range of 1 and 0, since the whole SSIM measure is between 1 and 0. So 1 would mean that two images to be compared are identical and zero is they're infinitely different, if that is possible with an image. There is a second thing where we differ from Wang et al. They combine their features per pixel. And the idea is to know where do images differ. So in combining it per pixel, they can make maps that look almost like the original images that were compared. And just by seeing where is it white, usually you map one to white and zero to black, you can see, oh, there, these two images differ. We were more interested in what dimensions do these images differ. So we average first across each dimension and then combine these features. To evaluate, we use paired comparison. So we have one reference image and compare it to two transformed images, asking the observers which one is more similar to the original, the reference image. And the result is then choice data. The model we would like to have should predict this choice. As I said, the SSIM was evaluated on image databases with distortions like noise and compression. But for this kind of distortions we are interested in, we call it chromatic distortions, they are not really, let's say, official references. So we just started one. We added data from a dozen studies from Zurich, Kyoik, München, Jena, mostly with images from real-world scenes. The images are available, so already transformed. And there are more than 50,000 paired comparisons. Observers were an expert public and computer science students that are not really experts in color, mostly. We are interested to include other studies, in fact. Now, how did we evaluate? We took all this choice data, split it into two sets. We learned the model on the first set and tried then to predict the choices on the other set. In statistics, you usually call it holdout data. In machine learning community, it's more training set, test set. You repeat this splitting process 100,000 many times, and this gives then a distribution of hit rates. So hit rate means how many percent of the choices could you predict correctly. We applied this to different feature sets that you see there in the table. First were those marked in gray. This is this luminance contrast structure. And then we added both new presented features and just one of the two to control. And we calculated these features in two color spaces in order to check whether there would be any dependence from the color space. Then what you see in the box plots are the distribution of these hit rates. Now, for these plots, we took just one study, about 10,000 paired comparisons, and we splitted the data according to reference images. So the holdout data were all from the same original or reference image, and this was not present in the other set, in the training set. Just looking at it by a thumb rule, you would see that the red line corresponding to the median hit rate is slightly higher when we are using these chromatic features as well. But also, the whole distribution tends to be less varied. So using these features adds to robustness. Now these data stem from the use of a linear kernel support vector machine. Support vector machines, they attribute weight to observations. We did the same calculation with linear regression, and linear regression attributes weights to dimensions. The results were comparable. Support vector machine being a bit better since it's also a more complex model. Now, we are interested into arguing whether this difference in the distributions is significant. And we're just doing that now for what are now feature sets 3, 4, or 7, 8. So we just compare those models learned only from the luminance features with the models including both chromium and chromatic features. Here we used linear regression models. And what you see on the horizontal axis is just the difference of the mean between these two feature sets. So if the hit rate using the chromatic features as well is better, then you would have a positive difference, while if using only the luminance features is better, then you would have a negative difference. And the error bars come from 1,000 cross-validation runs, and it's the 99% confidence interval for this mean. So if this error bar does not touch the zero line that is marked in gray, it means the difference is significant, and you see mostly using the chrominance features as well is significantly better with these data that we used. There is one exception, the study called Mixing 6. It was first done with lay observers. It's the same as Mixing 4, but Mixing 4 was done with expert observers. What he did in these studies is to do gamut mapping to just region of images and then to glue them together. So if this gluing together of these regions produced artifacts, they were quite well visible, and they were visible in the high frequency range of the image, so luminance features are expected to be better. So our conclusion, for at least for our data, chromatic information is not negligible in full reference image quality. We would be interested to check with other chromatic distortions, like change in viewing conditions, change in illumination. Then an open question we answered meanwhile, does the performance of the model when we use the chromatic features as well decrease the predicting of these distortions, the classical distortions? It does, but it's not really crucial, in my opinion, since you also look at a wider range of distortions. And the last thing is, if you look at natural images, you have an idea how skin should look like, how grass, sky, whatever should look like. Is there any effect of it? So the next thing we are planning to do is to do a mixed study with abstract images from this German painter called Paul Klee. They have been digitized and they are in public domain for all research under Creative Commons license. So if anybody would be interested in carefully digitized art images, please address any of the authors. And as a last thing, I'd like to thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions from the audience?
Uh, Could you say something about the interdependence of the explanatory variables? In particular, did you allow for the increase in degrees of freedom having the two extra variables gave you in fitting?
You, if I understand your question right, you ask, I have two parameters more, so I should have a no.
More questions?
If I get you right, you made a renewal of structural similarity index, yes? So would you make some public release of that code?
Because sorry, I did not understand your question.
Sorry, would you made a color version of SIM, yes? I get you right.
Yes, in a way. Yeah. As I said, SSM is not one measure.
Yes, yes.
For instance,
yes.
You can make multi-scale.
So would you make your release, your results, your code as public as they did? Is it possible to use them, for example, for my own purposes?
Yes, I think so.
Would you put it somewhere in the web? or just, I need to ask you.
Yeah, can we talk afterwards? Okay.
Thank you.
We have time for one more question. Anyone? Well, I have one. If I understood correctly, you put different weight to the different parts of this SM measure for the contrast, luminance, yes. And also to the color parts that you add. How important are, or what is the weight of the color part compared to the other SM part?
Well, that's a good one, because actually what you have in gamut mapping is you map everything towards gray. So usually the chroma part and the luminance part are in a way correlated too. So we will have another presentation that goes in detail, the last one of this session. And I don't want to take the thrill away.
Okay, so we are waiting and excited for the last presentation. So thank you very much again.